Now in the following ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds the Muslims of their victory at Badr. Because the Muslims, when they went for Uhud, they had all the planning, they had all the organization. But what happened? Still, they suffered failure. A battle that they were being victorious in, what happened? The victory turned into defeat. So over here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds them of the victory that they had at Badr. Why? In order to reassure the Muslims of the promise of the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because sometimes, you know, when you're getting everything done, then you feel very positive. But then you miss out on one test. You fail one test. You don't do one lesson good. And what happens? You start feeling negative. And then sometimes people start going down from there. Isn't it so? You fail one test, you fail one thing, and you start going down. And when everything was going fine, you stay motivated. So over here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds them of what happened at Badr. Why? In order to reassure them that you will get the help of Allah. Allah helped you at Badr, and He did help you at Uhud as well at the beginning. But then what happened? You yourself caused your own defeat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you in the future as well. So the Muslims, they were severely shaken because of the defeat at Uhud, but Allah reminds them of the blessings that they enjoyed so that they do not get depressed. They do not get demotivated. So when we suffer from something, when we get overwhelmed by some work, then what should we do? Think about the good times. Think about the times that you were successful, that you were able to do so much. Who enabled you then? Allah enabled you then. So Allah will also enable you now. Allah will also help you now. وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرٍ. And certainly, Allah is the one who helped you. When? بِبَدْرٍ. At Badr. وَلَقَدْ. Over here there are ثَلَاثَ مُؤَكِّدَاتٍ. Three words that are giving emphasis. First of all, the waw of qasm. Then lam, which gives the meaning of surely. Then qad, meaning in fact. So walaqad, meaning this is a fact. There is no doubt in this. In what? That it is certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who helped you. Nasarakum. Nasara is to help someone. It is to give victory to someone. To help someone out of a difficulty that they were in. So He is the one who helped you. When? At Badr. The word Badr is from the root letters ba, dal, ra. And the word Badr is actually the name of a spring. Badr is actually the name of a spring that is between Makkah and Medina. It's a water source that is between Makkah and Medina, and it's around 26 miles from Medina. The owner of the spring, his name was Badr. The owner of the spring, his name was actually Badr, which is why some people, their name is Badr. And from this, the spring and the area around it, that entire area was known as Badr. And the Battle of Badr took place in that area. When was the Battle of Badr fought? In the second year after Hijrah. It was a Friday, and it was 17th of Ramadan. 17th of Ramadan, and it was a Friday. And how many Muslims were there? About 313. How many horses did they have? 313 Muslims, how many horses did they have? Two. How many camels did they have? 70. 70 camels, 2 horses. And the mushrikeen, on the other hand, much more than this. 3 times than this, 4 times than this. They had much more than the Muslims. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds them that who helped you at Badr? Who made you victorious at Badr? When you didn't have enough resources, when you weren't enough people, when you didn't have enough horses and camels, who helped you at that time? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped you. So remain confident, be confident that He will help you again as well. وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّ. While you were weak. The word أَذِلَّ is the plural of the word ذَلِيل. From the root letters ذَال لَام لَام. From the root letters ذَال لَام لَام. We have done the word ذِلَّ earlier. What is ذِلَّ? Humiliation. When someone suffers from humiliation. And the word ذِلَّ is also used for someone who is weak, someone who has less compared to the other, someone who does not have quwwah, who doesn't have much strength compared to the other. So you are adhilla. What does it mean by this, that you were adhilla? You were lesser, you were lower. Compared to who? Compared to the disbelievers. But lesser and lower in what sense? In the material sense. Because a Muslim, a believer, can never ever be lower than a disbeliever in his rank, in his position. Even if a believer is very weak, he doesn't have anything, he's the poorest person on the surface of the earth, still his rank is higher than that of the disbeliever. Because Iman, as we learned earlier at the end of the third juz, that you cannot pay the price of Iman even with the earth's fill of gold. Even if a disbeliever on the Day of Judgment gives an earth's fill of gold to ransom himself, it's not going to be acceptable from him. And on the other hand, if a person comes with Iman and he doesn't offer even a third of the earth's fill of gold, still his status will be different compared to that of a disbeliever. So adhilla, in what sense? In the material sense. How? Because of the shortage of their numbers, because of the shortage of the numbers of the Muslims, and also because of the shortage of their resources. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds them that despite that, everything worked out. Isn't it? Despite that everything worked out, you were less in number, you had less resources, but still who was victorious? You were victorious. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ, so fear Allah. Meaning fear Allah now, don't be negative, don't think that just because you have lost once, you will eternally remain losers. Just because you have failed once, you will always fail. No, fear Allah. Have some fear of Allah. He helped you then, He will help you again. Stop being negative. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, so that you can be grateful. Fear Allah, so that you can be grateful for what? Grateful for the good that you enjoyed previously. For the success that you enjoyed previously. Remember that when we suffer from something negative, and when we, you know, dwell upon it, when we just think about it, when we sulk over it, then what happens? We cannot remember the good times. And when we cannot remember the good times, then what happens? We're ungrateful for them. So over here Allah says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ, have some fear of Allah. Don't be negative. Don't be depressed. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, so that you are grateful. So what does this ayah teach us? First of all, that when a believer trusts upon Allah, then what happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps him. Because we learn that Allah is the one who helped you at Badr, وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّهُ. You had much less numbers and resources compared to your enemy, but still you were victorious. And in the previous ayah we learned, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, upon Allah should the believers trust. So at Badr, what was it that made you victorious? Your tawakkul upon Allah, not your numbers. Because your numbers are very less. So when a believer trusts upon Allah, then what happens? Allah helps him. Also we learn from this ayah that وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ, Allah is the one who helps. So help and victory comes from who? Comes from Allah. Not from your resources, not from your numbers. Because if help and victory came from one's numbers and resources, then the Muslims should have been victorious immediately at the Battle of Hunayn. At the Battle of Hunayn, as you will learn inshallah in Surah Tawbah, we learn that the Muslims, they had a lot of people, a lot of resources, but still, initially what happened? They were failing, they were losing. As we learn in Surah Tawbah, ayah 25, لَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَوَاطِنَ كَثِيرَةٍ وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنَ إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ فَلَمْ تُغْنِ عَنْكُمْ شَيْئًا وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ ثُمَّ وَلَّيْتُمْ مُدْبِرِينَ. Allah has already given you victory in many regions, and even on the day of Hunayn, when your great number pleased you. When your great number pleased you, but it did not avail you at all. Your great number did not avail you. And the earth was confining for you with its vastness. The earth was so huge, but still, because the Muslims were losing initially, what happened? The earth felt confined to them. Then you turned back, fleeing, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who helped you. So what does this show? That success comes from Allah, not from your planning, not from your resources, not from your numbers, not from your links. Because many times people rely on their links, like their links with some people or with some friends or some organizations on some companies. No, help does not come from there. Help comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another very important lesson that we learn from this ayah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows favor to adhillah as well, to those servants who are weak. When somebody is weak, when somebody has less compared to us, we don't even look at them. We don't pay any attention to them. We don't think that they need anything from us. We don't think that they deserve anything from us. Why? Because they are low in their knowledge or in their status or in their money or whatever. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He shows His mercy even to the adhillah, even if the adhillah do not have anything of worldly status. This also teaches us that if we want the help of Allah, what should we do? We should show our humility to Him. Because showing humility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites the mercy of Allah. So if you want the help of Allah, what should you do? What should you do? Show your weakness before Allah. Show your weakness before Allah. Show your humility before Allah. And that is ta'abbud. That is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many times when we need something, when we feel weak, we show our weakness to other people who cannot do anything. Why? So that they show some pity to us and they help us. I don't have this and I don't have that. You know, my back is hurting a lot. Hoping that, you know, maybe they'll give you a massage or something. So we show our weakness in front of people. Why? To get some pity from them. To get some help from them. And sometimes we show so much weakness, but still, people have no mercy. To the point that you said, don't you have any pity on me? And the other person really doesn't. Who should you show your weakness to? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah is the one who helps. And when you show your weakness to Allah, then that invites the mercy of Allah. Also we see that sometimes a person may seem very inferior in front of other people compared to others. So over here the Muslims, they were adhilla compared to who? Compared to the disbelievers, compared to the mushrikeen. So the Muslims, they seem to be very inferior compared to the mushrikeen. But what happened? They were the ones who were victorious. Why? Because of their iman. And why did they get the help of Allah? Because of their iman. So it's possible that someone may seem very inferior in his worldly status, but he may have a lot of honor in the sight of Allah. It's possible that someone may seem very less, very inferior in his worldly status, but he has a lot of honor in the sight of Allah. Why? Because of his taqwa, because of his faith. As we learn in Surah Al-Hujurat, ayah 13, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. Indeed, the most noble of you, أَكْرَمَكُمْ, the most honorable of you, the one who is most honorable in the sight of Allah is who? The one who is أَتْقَاكُمْ, the one who is most righteous, the one who has most taqwa. Also we learn from this ayah that when a person receives the help of Allah, then what should he do? He should not show arrogance and pride, but rather he should increase in his shukr. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Allah helped you at that time. Don't become proud. Don't start showing off, but rather be grateful to Allah. Because sometimes when something works out for us, when we get a very good mark on the test, how do we feel? I did it. I did it. And this person, how much did she get? Okay, lesser than me. Okay, good. As long as she got less than me. Even if I didn't get 100%, as long as this person got less than me. What is that feeling? It's that feeling of pride. It's that feeling of arrogance. But upon achieving something, upon gaining something, what should you remember? That Allah is the one who helped me, and therefore I should be grateful to Him. I should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another very important lesson is that in difficult times, what should we do? We should remember and talk about the good times. When things are getting tough, what should we talk about? What should we discuss? What should we remember? The good times. Because when something negative happens, what do we discuss? The same thing over and over again. With one person, and then another person, and then another person. So instead, what should you do? Talk about the good things. Because that shows that you're hopeful of the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It boosts up your morale, makes you more confident. And if you remain stuck on the difficulty, on the hardship, then you will only remain negative and you will not see success. It's the qulu lil mu'mineen. When you are saying to the believers at Badr, meaning these verses are about Badr now, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding the Muslims of what happened at Badr. So is the qulu lil mu'mineen, when you, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, were saying to the believers at Badr, right before the battle. Because the Muslims, there were only about 300 in number, very few in number, very few resources. So he was saying to the believers, why? To give them confidence, to boost up their morale, to boost up their confidence, to encourage them. So when you were saying to the believers, which believers? Those who were there at Badr. What did he say to them? أَلَنْ يَكْفِيَكُمْ. Is this not going to be enough for you? أَنْ يُمِدَّكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ. That Allah, that your Lord helps you, that your Lord extends help to you. With how much? بِثَلَاثَةِ آلَافٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. With 3,000 angels. And these 3,000 angels, they are munzaleen, ones who were sent down. Meaning sent down from the sky, especially to help you. So right before the battle, the Prophet ﷺ was encouraging the Muslims. He was boosting up their morale. He was boosting up their confidence by telling them that is this not going to suffice you, that Allah is going to send 3,000 angels from the sky down to help you, to assist you. أَلَنْ يَكْفِيَكُمْ. يَكْفِيَكُمْ is from the root letters كَافَيَة, from the word كِفَيَة. And كِفَيَة is to fulfill the need of someone in such a way that they don't need anything else after that. Meaning their need is completely fulfilled. Their need is completely fulfilled. Whatever haja they had, whatever need they had, it has been fulfilled. So, أَلَنْ يَكْفِيَكُمْ أَنْ يُمِدَّكُمْ. يُمِدَّ is from the root letters ميم دال دال, from the word مَد. And what does مَد mean? To stretch, to extend, to prolong something. And from this, إِمْدَاد, أَمَدَّ, يُمِدُّ, إِمْدَاد, is to provide someone with an army or supplies. What is it? To provide someone with an army or supplies or whatever they need to get their work done. But remember that in Imdad, the help is sent in parts. It is sent in reinforcements, meaning you send a little bit, and as soon as they run out, you send more. As soon as they run out, you send more. This is what Imdad is. So it is to give part after part, time after time. It is not to send help or to send the reinforcement just at once, altogether. No. Part after part, time after time. So, أَنْ يُمِدَّكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ, that your Lord is going to help you, بِثَلَاثَةِ أَلَافِ, with 3,000. أَلَاف is a plural of أَلْف. 3,000 angels, مُنْزَلِين. مُنْزَلِين is a plural of مُنْزَل. And مُنْزَل is different from مُنْزِل. مُنْزِل with a kasra, what does مُنْزِل mean? One who sends down. Okay? And مُنْزَل is one who is sent down. You understand? Munzil is one who sends down, and Munzal is one who is sent down. Just as Yunzilu with a kasra under the zai, what does it mean? He sends. And Yunzalu with a fatha on the zai, it is sent down. So Munzalin, ones who are sent down. What does it mean by Munzalin? Meaning the angels who are sent down. Sent down from where? From the skies. How are the angels sent down? In shifts. They were sent down in shifts, meaning in groups, one group after the other group. Now imagine the Muslims were only 300. And what are they told here? That you will be reinforced with 3,000 angels, 10 times your number. This is the help of Allah. You can only do one thing, but when the help of Allah comes, you get 10 times more. Which is why you can achieve 10 times more sometimes, which you yourself could not do. Qatada said that initially 1,000 angels were sent to help the Muslims. How many? At the Battle of Badr, how many were sent initially? 1,000. As we learn in Surah Al-Anfal, ayah number 8, إِذْ تَسْتَغِيثُونَ رَبَّكُمْ فَاسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ أَنِّي مُمِدُّكُمْ بِأَلْفٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُرْدِفِينَ. So over there we learn, بِأَلْفٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, 1,000 angels. So initially it was 1,000. And then 3,000 angels were sent, which is mentioned in this ayah. And then 5,000, as mentioned in the following ayah, the next ayah that we will learn. So the help, the aid that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent, it was sent in batches. What lesson do we learn from this ayah? What lesson do we learn from this ayah? That it's possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can help you without any means. Isn't it? For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you just by saying kun is not difficult. At that moment, at that point, at the Battle of Badr, he could have just sent one angel, Jibreel. Angel Jibreel is the one who destroyed the people of Lut. As we learned that he picked up the entire people with his one wing and threw them back down. So similarly, the mushrikeen could have been destroyed in the same way as well. But it is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how He wishes to send His help to you. Sometimes we want that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should send His help in a particular way. We have something in our mind, fixed in our heads. This should happen. Huh? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends His help in different ways. And it's up to Him how He wishes to send His help. He could have sent the angels 5,000 at once. But that didn't happen. 1,000, then 3,000, then 5,000. So it is up to Allah. If you want help from Allah, then trust upon Him. He will send His help in a way that is best for you, in a way that is most appropriate for your situation. Also we learn in this ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the angels to help the Muslims. Imam al-Razi said that there is an ijma' of the ummah that on the day of Badr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent angels, and these angels actually fought the enemy. It is a fact. There is a consensus that the angels came and they fought the enemy. Because sometimes people say, oh, this was just, you know, news just to give them comfort, and the angels didn't actually come. Because some people deny the existence of angels. But the fact is that the angels were sent and they actually came and fought the enemy. Jibreel came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, how do you look upon the warriors of Badr among yourselves? Meaning, what do you say about those people who fought at the Battle of Badr? The Prophet ﷺ said, as the best of the Muslims. They were the best of the believers. On that, Jibreel said, and so are the angels who participated in Badr. Even those angels are the best of the angels. Because they were the ones who participated in Badr. Bala, of course. What does it mean by bala? Meaning, of course, Allah's help will definitely come to you. Because in the previous ayah, what has been said? أَلَنْ يَكْفِيَكُمْ. Is this not sufficient for you? Is this not enough? So over here Allah says, bala, of course, meaning this will be enough for you. إِنْ تَصْبِرُوا, if you show patience, وَتَتَّقُوا, and you fear Allah, what's going to happen? وَيَأْتُوكُمْ مِنْ فَوْرِهِمْ, and the enemy come upon you attacking in rage. هَذَا يُمْدِدُكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ بِخَمْسَةِ آلَافٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُسَوِّمِينَ. Your Lord will reinforce you with 5,000 angels having marks of distinction, provided that you have sabr and you have taqwa. إِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا. Now sabr is done upon ita'ah. What is sabr done on? Ita'ah, on acts of obedience. When it comes in contrast with taqwa, sabr is to have patience on acts of obedience. What does it mean? To remain steadfast. That whatever a person has been commanded to do, he does it. He has some sabr upon it and he doesn't give up. Because sometimes we start something, it becomes difficult and we say, I can't do it anymore. We give up hope. No. Sabr is to remain steadfast upon ita'ah. And taqwa is done from maharim. What is maharim? Haram. Acts that are forbidden. Okay? So taqwa is to stay away from what a person has been forbidden. From what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden a person from doing. So in tasbiru wa tattaqu, if you do what you're supposed to, and you stay away from what you've been told to stay away from, وَيَأْتُوكُمْ مِنْ فَوْرِهِمْ, and they come to you in their rage. Who? Who does they refer to? The enemy. The enemy comes to you, the enemy approaches you, مِنْ فَوْرِهِمْ هَذَا, with their rush. The word Fawr is from the root letters Fa, Waw, Ra. And the word Fawr, originally, it means the initiation of something. It is to begin something or to initiate something with a lot of vigor, with a lot of zeal. And it is said, Fawrat al-Qidr. What is a Qidr? A pot. So Fawrat, meaning the water was boiling inside, and then what happened? It erupted. So it is used for the initiation of something, that as soon as it boils over and it comes out. You know, sometimes you're boiling milk on the stove, and it takes only a second for the milk to rise over and spill over, to bubble out of the pot. So Farat al-Qidr is when a pot is boiling and the water or the liquid that is boiling inside, it comes out. So it is used for the beginning of something, the initiation of something with a lot of zeal, because it comes out with a lot of force, just like a spring. From the same root is the word fawara, which is used for a gushing spring of water, because it comes out, it begins, right? It comes out with a lot of force, with a lot of zeal and vigor. So this is what the word fawr is used for. Then the word fawr is also used for rush. It is used for haste. It is used for anger. It is used for rage. So min fawrihim, meaning at once, straight away. Min fawrihim hadha has been understood in two ways. And hadha refers to at Badr. So min fawrihim has been understood in two ways. That first of all, the enemy comes to you at once. The enemy comes to you at once. So the enemy, they left Makkah, right? The mushrikeen, they left Makkah, they left their homes, and they came from their journey at once together. Secondly, min fawrihim is understood as rage, that with their anger, out of their anger, meaning they were attacking in rage. At the time of battle, they were very furious, they were very angry. So in tasbiru wa tattaqu, if you have sabr and if you have taqwa, and the enemy is approaching you all at once, or the enemy is approaching you with its rage, then what's going to happen? يُمْدِدُكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ بِخَمْسَةِ آلَافٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Your Lord is going to help you with what? 5,000 angels. Previously it was said 3,000. And initially it was 1,000. Now Allah says 5,000. And these angels are going to be musawwimeen, ones that are marked. Musawwimeen is a plural of musawwim. And musawwim is understood in two ways. First of all, one who puts a mark, one who makes a mark, one who leaves a mark. And secondly, one that has a mark upon it. Wasama, as you know, means to brand, to put a mark. And musawwim is one who makes a mark, one who leaves a mark. So what does it mean by this, that the angels are ones who leave marks or ones who make marks? Meaning, ones who make or leave marks on their horses. Okay? Remember that when people, when they go for battle, what do? They wear a particular kind of clothing, and they also put particular marks on their animals. Why? So that their army are distinguished from the army of the enemy. Just as if you have two groups, if you have two classes, what are you going to do? One class is going to wear one particular uniform, and the other class is going to wear another uniform. Why? So that they can be easily distinguished. Right? So when people go for battle, they would also put marks on themselves as well as their horses. So musawwimeen, meaning angels who have marked their horses. Secondly, musawwimeen is understood as ones with marks, meaning marks that distinguish them. And what were these marks? There is a difference of opinion. Some have said that they had turbans or they had white wool. So basically they came in the form of human beings with horses, and they actually fought in the battle. Okay? But they had some kind of marks that distinguished them from the rest of the people. That distinguished them from the rest of the people. So يُمْدِدَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ بِخَمْسَةِ آلَافٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُسَوِّمِينَ. So what do we see? What do we learn from this ayah? That in order to accomplish something, what do you have to do? In order for better organization, what do you have to do? تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا. Sabr and taqwa. Because a condition has been placed. إِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا. If you do what you're supposed to do, and if you stay away from what you're not supposed to do. Many times we leave what we're supposed to do and we do that which we're not supposed to do, and we still expect the help of Allah. For instance, if something is very difficult, we start complaining, we start being negative, we start backbiting, and we leave our work and we still expect the help of Allah. What's the condition that is being placed over here? In tasbiru wa tattaqu. You are supposed to do your job properly, and then you should expect the help of Allah. And if we don't do sabr, if we don't have taqwa, if we go against the laws of Allah, then how do we expect the help of Allah? So we have to be deserving of the help of Allah as well. And how do we make ourselves deserving? By doing sabr and by having taqwa. These two things are important. Also, we see that the angels, they came as musawwimeen. What does it show? That part of management, part of organization, is putting marks on things. Okay? Putting marks on things, putting labels on things. Because many times people don't like this idea. Why do we have to wear white hijab? What's the big deal? And they say white hijab should be plain. Why? Because it's better for the purpose of organization and management. So that when you come here, you're known as a student of this course, a student of this classroom. So part of management, part of organization is labeling things properly, putting marks on the things properly. وَمَا جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بُشْرَى لَكُمْ. And Allah did not make it except as a good news for you. وَمَا جَعَلَهُ. He made it. What does it refer to? The help that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to the believers. How did He send the help? Through angels. And this help, the Muslims were informed of it from before. As we learn in the ayah, that the Prophet ﷺ, he said to the believers, أَلَنْ يَكْفِيَكُمْ. Is this not enough for you? Is this not going to suffice you that Allah is going to send help to you in the form of angels? 3,000 angels and then 5,000 angels. So the fact that the Muslims knew about the angels coming to help them, what was this? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell them? It was only a bushralakum. It was only a good news for you. Over here, it doesn't mean it was only a good news and the angels didn't actually come. No. Good news means over here that good news of victory. Good news of victory. That the Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have not informed them as well. Correct? If He wished, He wouldn't have informed them. They would have gone into the battle without knowing that Allah was going to send His help. But if they went into the battle with fear, then what would happen? What would happen? They would lose their courage. They would not have confidence. And sometimes shaitan comes at these moments and makes us feel very negative. But when you're confident that Allah is going to help me, the help is just coming. It's just coming now. It's going to come very soon. Then what happens? You remain confident. You remain confident. So it was a good news for you. What was a good news for you? The fact that you were informed about the help through angels before the battle. Allah informed them before the battle. Why? So that they remain confident about the fact that they were going to be successful. So it was only good news for you. وَلِتَطْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبُكُمْ بِهِ. And so that your hearts become satisfied with it. تَطْمَئِنَّ is from the root letters طَا مِيم هَمْزَ نُون, from the word اطمئنان. And اطمئنان is literally when something comes to a stop after movement. So imagine something is moving. It's going from one point to the other. And then what happens? It comes to a stop. It becomes still. And it doesn't just stop there. It remains firm. It remains firm. Like for example, sometimes you're traveling. You stop at one point and then you start again. And you stop and then you start again. No, this is not itmi'nan. Itmi'nan is that you're moving, then you come to a stop and then you remain firm over there. This is literally the meaning of the word itmi'nan. Then the word itmi'nan is used for the peace and satisfaction and contentment of the heart after being doubtful. After being doubtful. That before you were doubtful, you were very shaky, you were not confident at all, you were double-minded. You're like, should I do this, should I not do this? And then itmi'nan is that when you become confident that okay, fine, this is the thing to do, this will definitely happen, and you don't have any doubts left anymore. There is another word that is used for the contentment or the reassurance of the heart, and that is sakina. And sakina is from sakana. And what does sakana mean? to become still. After what? After haraka. And itmi'nan is also when something was moving and then it comes to a stop. So what's the difference between the two? Itmi'nan is that something was moving, it comes to a stop, and it becomes firm. And it's used for doubts going away from a person's heart. And sakina is when a person was suffering from grief, from worries, from anxiety, and then he has comfort. Then he has peace. Then he has tranquility. Okay? So sakina is used especially for the removal of gham, the removal of worries, and itmi'nan is used for the removal of doubts. وَلِتَطْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبُكُمْ. And so that your hearts become firm, so that your hearts become satisfied and content. About what? About the fact that you will definitely be victorious, because up until this point, they were shaky. They were wondering, what's going to happen to us? Are we going to become victorious, or are we going to be finished completely? So وَلِتَطْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبُكُمْ بِهِ, so that your hearts become confident and satisfied that you are going to be victorious. وَمَنْ نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. And help is not except from Allah. Meaning help only comes from Allah. The help came to you at Badr from Allah. And everywhere else as well, in every other situation, how are you victorious? Who gives help to you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who is Allah? Al-Aziz, Al-Hakim. The mighty and the wise. Meaning He has the ability to help you, and He is wise, He knows how to help you, when to help you. Because sometimes if we don't get helped immediately, we think we have been left alone. We have been deserted. Because sometimes we want help immediately. We think that help of Allah means no difficulty. Everything should be smooth. Everything should be very simple. Should be very easy. But Allah is Hakim. He knows when to send His help to you and how to send His help to you. The Muslims went through all that turmoil. And all of you have heard about how the Prophet ﷺ made dua before the Battle of Badr. To the point that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said that stop it now, it's enough. How much he prayed. But the Muslims had to go through all of that. They had to face the difficulty. And then the good news came. So Allah is Hakim. Because if we know from before that okay, Allah's help is going to come, then what do? We don't do anything ourselves. We stop doing anything when we leave everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the sense that we don't even do what is required of us, which is against tawakkul. Tawakkul is that you do your best and then Allah makes sure that the plan runs smoothly. So over here Allah says, وَمَنْ نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. The help comes only from Allah. How did the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come to the Muslims at the Battle of Badr? In different ways. First of all, as we see, that the angels were sent. We learn that the Prophet ﷺ said to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that, rejoice, O Abu Bakr, Allah's help has come. This is Jibreel moving ahead with his horse's bridle in his hand. His garments are besmeared with dirt and dust. That he is really involved in the battle. So, first of all, the help of Allah came through the angels. Secondly, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also sent rain. And this rain, what did it do? What happened? Who remembers what happened? The ground. That the soil beneath the feet of the Muslims, that became firm because it was higher compared to the ground where the mushrikeen were. So what happened was that all of the water, it ran down, and the soil beneath the feet of the Muslims, that became firm because it became wet. Imagine if you're in the desert, and if the sand is not wet, it's very, very difficult to stand. It's very difficult to walk. If you go to the beach and it's sandy, it's so difficult to walk. But if it's wet, then the ground becomes smooth and it's easier to walk. And what happened with the mushrikeen was that the soil beneath their feet, it became muddy and watery, making it extremely difficult for them to move about. So one thing was that. Similarly, we learned that the winds, they were also very favorable for the Muslims. That it was blowing against the mushrikeen, and so all of the dust that was being picked up was going into whose eyes? The mushrikeen. So the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came in different ways. وَمَنْ نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ لِيَخُطَعَ طَرَفًا مِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. So that he might cut down a section of who? الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, of those people who have disbelieved. أَوْ يَكْبِتَهُمْ فَيَنْقَلِبُوا خَائِبِينَ, or suppress them so that they turn back disappointed. لِيَقْطَعَ. Lam over here is of ta'leel, and what does ta'leel mean? Cause, reason. Why did he send his help to you? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send his help to the Muslims? What was the reason? In order that yaqta'a, yaqta'a is from qata'a, and qata'a is to cut something. In order to cut off tarafan min alladhina kafar, a side of the disbelievers. Taraf is from the root letters ta, ra, fa, and it's used for part of something. It is used for a portion of something, a piece of something, but in particular it is used for the side part of something, the side portion of something. Not the center, not the front, not the back, but what is it? The side, like the right side or the left side. This is what the word taraf is used for. So Allah wished to cut off a side, meaning a faction, a group of the disbelievers. Which group was this? The group of the leaders. The group of the leaders of the mushrikeen. Because they had come to Badr in order to fight the Muslims. And what happened? 70 men from among them were killed, including who? Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl was one of the leaders of the mushrikeen, and he was killed. So لِيَقْطَعَ طَرَفًا مِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. And they have been called طَرَف as well. Why? Because they were sided away from the Muslims after Hijrah. Before Hijrah, the Muslims and the mushrikeen, they were together. Alright? They were together. But then when the Muslims migrated to Medina, what happened? These people, who were even their blood relatives, they were sided away. They became a taraf, they became a side. So tarafa min alladhina kafaru. Aw yakbitahum, or he suppresses them. He disgraces them. Yakbita is from the root letters kaf, ba, ta. And the word kabit is used for humiliating someone. It is to repel someone or something with harshness. And it is to disgrace and humiliate. It is also to throw somebody on their face. So kabata is to destroy, to disgrace, to humiliate, to repel with a lot of harshness. It's like when somebody is coming towards another person and he doesn't just push them back, but what does he do? He just turns them around and throws them on their face. Just imagine, this is what kabata is. So imagine somebody is coming towards you, you turn them around and throw them on their face. What is that? They're insulted, they're humiliated, and they're also defeated. Okay? This is what kabata is. So either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to completely kill them, was to completely destroy the leaders of the mushrikeen, or yakbitahum, he was going to disgrace them, humiliate them. What does it mean by yakbitahum in the context? He was going to defeat them. He was going to put them to flight. He was going to destroy them. He was going to give the Muslims victory over them. So 70 men, they were killed. Another 70 were taken as captives. Remember? So this was their kept, that they were humiliated. And the rest of them were put to flight. About them Allah says, فَيَنْقَلِبُوا خَائِبِينَ, so that they turn back as ones who are frustrated. يَنْقَلِبُوا is from the root letters قَافْ لَمْبَ. Any other word from the same root? قَلْب. What is it used for? Heart. And انقلاب is to return. It is to retreat. But انقلاب is to return in a way, to return to a state that is different from what one left in. This is what inqilab is. So for instance, you leave your house all fresh and energetic, and you come back home tired. Or you leave your house and you left your house all nice and clean, spick and span, and when you come back home, your house is a mess. Okay? So you left in a way, in a state that was different, or you came back in a way or in a state that was different from the way that you left in, from the state that you left in. It's not exactly the same, it changes. So فَيَنْقَلِبُوا خَائِبِينَ, and خَائِبِينَ is a plural of خَائِب. خَائِب is from the root letters خَا وَبَ, and خَيْبَ is used for defeat. It is to fail to achieve what one hopes for. So you were hoping to achieve something, you were wishing to gain something, but you failed to achieve that. So what is it? When a person is disappointed. وَيَنْقَلِبُ خَائِبِينَ. So the Meccan army, the Mushrik army, how did they come? With a lot of pride. They came with a lot of courage. They came with a lot of resources, with a lot of people. And they were confident that they were going to be victorious. But they went back in a different state. And what was that state? Of defeat. Of great loss. Loss of life and loss of wealth. فَيَنْقَلِبُ خَائِبِينَ. So what does this show? That when the truth and falsehood come in contact with each other, meaning the believer is coming in confrontation with a non-believer, then who gets the help of Allah? The believer. Provided that he does sabr and taqwa. And as for the falsehood, what does that suffer? One or all of the three things that are mentioned in this ayah. What are the three things that are mentioned in this ayah? First of all, لِيَقْطَعَ طَرَفًا مِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفْرُوا. First of all, either the falsehood is going to be completely finished, the Ahlul Batil, they're going to be killed, or يَكْبِتَهُمْ. Secondly, يَكْبِتَهُمْ, that they're defeated, they're put to flight, they're humiliated. Or thirdly, they fail to achieve their aim. They fail to achieve their aim. فَيَنْقَلِبُوا خَائِبِينَ. That's the third thing. So one or all of the three things. At the Battle of Badr, what happened? A group of the people, they were killed. Some of them, they were humiliated. And some of them, they went back home, but in a state of utter defeat. In a state of utter disappointment. And we see that in all of the other battles as well that took place between the Muslims and Mushrikeen, one or all of the three happened. Either they were finished, or they were humiliated, or they went back home frustrated. For example, at the Battle of Ahzab, what happened? So many people came. Yes, there weren't many who were killed, but what happened? They went back home disappointed. So one of the three happens. Because the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the one who deserves the help. Let's listen to the recitation.
وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرٍ وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّةٌ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ إِذْ تَقُولُ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَلَنْ يَكْفِيَكُمْ أَنْ يُمِدَّكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ بِثَلَاثَةِ آلَافٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُنْزَلِينَ بَلَى إِنْ تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا وَيَأْتُوكُمْ مِنْ فَوْرِهِمْ هَذَا يُمْدِدْكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ بِخَمْسَةِ آلَافٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُسَوِّمِينَ وَمَا جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بُشْرَى لَكُمْ وَلِتَطْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبُكُمْ بِهِ وَمَا النَّصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ ليقطع طرفا من الذين كفروا أو يكبتهم فينقلبوا خائبين.
Okay, share one thing about what you have learned from these ayats.
You should never give up hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because only then you can attain success.
And we should be thankful for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, so that we can continue to receive the help of Allah. Because if we become ungrateful, if we don't have sabr, if we don't have taqwa, then it's possible that Allah will humiliate us. And Allah's help comes in ways that we cannot even imagine. Why do we have a fixed thing in our heads and we can't think anything else besides that? And nothing that we have is permanent. Everything changes. So if right now you're enjoying victory, you're enjoying happiness, you're enjoying success, don't become too proud. Rather be grateful to Allah.
Yes.
It's amazing how many angels Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down. I mean, 5,000 angels is a big number. And if you have tawakkul ala Allah, and if what you intended to do does not happen, then you still have this itminan in your heart, you still have this contentment in your heart that this was the decision of Allah. This is what Allah wanted. Then you still have that comfort. But if you rely only on yourself, then what happens? You become frustrated. I should have done that, and I shouldn't have done that, and I should have done this. But when you've done your best, and you're doing tawakkul ala Allah, then you know that it's the decision of Allah. Then you're satisfied, you're content. One last point. Once we make a decision, then have some sabr and go through with it all the way. The Prophet ﷺ, when he made the decision, he went. He didn't change his mind then.
Let's listen to the recitation from the beginning.
وَإِذْ غَدَوْتَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ تُبَوِّئُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مَقَاعِدَ لِلْقِتَالِ وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ إِذْ هَمَّ الطَّائِفَتَانِ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ تَفْشَلَا وَاللَّهُ وَلِيُّهُمَا وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرٍ وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّةٌ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ إِذْ تَقُولُ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَلَنْ يَكْفِيَكُمْ أَنْ يُمِدَّكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ بِثَلَاثَةِ آلَافٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُنْزَلِينَ بَلَى إِنْ تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا وَيَأْتُوكُمْ مِنْ فَوْرِهِمْ هذا يمددكم ربكم بخمسة آلاف من الملائكة مسومين وما جعله الله إلا بشرى لكم ولتطمئن قلوبكم به وما النصر إلا من عند الله العزيز الحكيم ليقطع طرفا من الذين كفروا أو يكبتهم فينقلبوا خائبين.